I want to take verse 37 as my text this evening. The Lord Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou which that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Ye would not. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ spoken concerning the city of Jerusalem stand forth as some of the most solemn and the most arresting words that have ever been spoken upon this earth. How privileged the city of Jerusalem was throughout its long history. It had witnessed the presence of some of the greatest kings and the greatest prophets that God ever gave to a nation. But the greatest blessing of all was the blessing of the presence of God Himself. God said to the children of Israel when they entered the land of Canaan that He would choose a place where He would put His name, where His name would be manifested. And in the process of time, God revealed the city of Jerusalem to be that place. Jerusalem became the location of the house of God. And to that place was brought the Ark of the Covenant. And between the cherubim who were above the ark, God manifested the Shekinah glory of His presence. God came and God dwelt visibly, powerfully, above the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And that ark was placed in the temple that was built in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place where the visible presence of God was manifested. What a privilege it was for every Jew, for every son of Abraham, to be able to come to the temple every year and there partake of the means of grace and receive the blessing of the Lord. It was to Jerusalem that God chose to come in the days of His flesh. The incarnate God, on the eighth day after His birth in Bethlehem, was taken as a little infant to the temple in Jerusalem. And from that time onwards until the day of His death, He would visit the city of Jerusalem many times. And Jerusalem would be privileged by hearing the voice of the incarnate God, by seeing the person of the Son of God manifest in flesh. What a privilege Jerusalem had as the incarnate God walked in the midst of her streets and spoke to the people who were assembled there. How greatly privileged this city was. And yet on this occasion, the Lord Jesus speaks words that seal the judgment of that privileged city. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Words that seal the judgment of a favored and a privileged city. It would only be a matter of 40 years before these words would be fulfilled. And some 60,000 soldiers of the Roman Empire would march in Jerusalem and surround it and besiege it. And then when famine and starvation had taken its toll, those soldiers would enter the city, they would raise it to the ground, and the great temple would be destroyed, and not one stone would be left standing upon another. The words of the Lord Jesus on this occasion sealed the judgment of a privileged and favored city. They are words that come to us as a solemn reminder. A solemn reminder to all Gentile peoples and Gentile nations to whom the gospel is now brought. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 20, "Be not high-minded, but fear," speaking to Gentiles, speaking in the context of the casting off of Israel, the setting aside of the nation of Israel. He said to Gentiles, "Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee." The desolation of the city of Jerusalem is a powerful reminder of the fearful consequences of rejecting the gospel. And that city has been blighted by desolation and by war and turmoil ever since, and will continue to be so until the Lord comes again. A solemn reminder that the privileges that God gives to men in the gospel, and the opportunities that God gives to men to repent and to seek the mercy of God, must not be underestimated. In effect, the Lord was sending the last call to Jerusalem. How many times He had called them, how many times He had sent His messengers and sent His prophets. And when they wouldn't heed the messengers of God, God sent His only begotten Son. But even that was not enough. For in a few days' time, they would take the Son of God and they would nail Him on a cross. And by doing so, they would signal their outright rejection of Him. What a fearful message. The last call that was unheeded by the city of Jerusalem. It is this last call that I want us to ponder tonight. And I want us to look at just two very plainly revealed truths that are set before us in this verse. I want you to notice in the first place that the Lord Jesus makes it absolutely clear that the redemption of sinners is found in Him alone. The Lord Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's speaking to the multitudes that have gathered before Him. He addresses His words to the city of Jerusalem. And as He does so, He highlights, He indicates to the city that the only source and the only hope of their deliverance, the only source of their salvation, is found in Himself alone. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The emphasis is upon Himself. He reveals Himself as the only hope, the only source of Jerusalem's salvation. He is the gatherer. He is the one who will bring them to safety. He is the one who will deliver them. How often would I have gathered thee? He uses the illustration of the hen gathering her chicks, and he applies it to himself. It's not a case of Jerusalem and its inhabitants working out their own deliverance and their own salvation. Instead, he points them to himself. He alone is the Savior. He alone is the deliverer. He alone is the one who can bring them to safety. What a wonderful illustration is given here of what the Lord Jesus is to all who seek Him and all who will come to Him in faith. He says, look at the hen, the mother hen, as she gathers her chickens, her brood, under her wings. That's what I would do for you. That's what Jesus will do for any poor lost sinner. What a wonderful illustration is here. He's revealing himself as the one who is the cover of safety. The mother hen sees the danger looming, sees the predator in the distance, or perhaps it's the clouds of the storm that are assembling overhead. She sees the danger, and she stretches out her wings, and she seeks to bring in her little chicks, her little chickens under her wings, in order that they might be safe, in order that they might find shelter, that they might find refuge from the storm or refuge from the predator. The Lord Jesus does the very same for sinners. That's what he's saying here. I'm the one who will keep the sinner safe. The story is told of a storm that swept over a country. And as that storm was gathering overhead, a mother hen was out bringing all her chicks in, getting them in under her wings. The storm was fierce. The winds blew with great ferocity. Parts of houses were blown off. But after the storm was over, the mother hen sat motionless. The farmer's wife went out and touched the hen, and she didn't move. The hen had been killed in the storm. When she lifted the hen, she found underneath, gathered in under her wings, she found all the little chickens. And they were all safe and well. She had died in order that they might live. And is it not a wonderful illustration tonight of what the Lord Jesus does for sinners? The safety of the soul, the deliverance of the soul, the sheltering of the souls of men from the storm of divine judgment is found in Christ alone. But in order to shelter sinners from that storm, He had to go into the storm. He had to face the billows of the wrath of God. He had to die on the cross in order to give us life. He's saying here, I am the cover of safety. I am the place of safety for sinners. But not only is He the place of safety, He is the source of comfort. In the cold frost of the night, the mother hen spreads her wings, and underneath her wings, the little chicks find comfort and they find warmth. And the Lord is saying here to Jerusalem, and He's saying to all men, this is what He will do for sinners who will come to Him. He will not only provide them shelter from the storm of judgment, but He will give them the warmth of His comfort. Amid all the troubles and all the afflictions and all the heartaches of this cold world, believer will find comfort in Christ that he cannot find anywhere else in this world. Men are troubled tonight. This world is a world of trouble. And men are looking for comfort and they're looking for warmth, but they cannot find it. Because it's only found in the Lord Jesus. He's the source of comfort. And he is the fountain of love. The mother hen is full of affection for her little chicks. She spreads her wings because she loves them. And it is underneath her wings that those little chicks feel the affection. And they feel the love that they could not feel anywhere else. What love the Lord Jesus has for all who come to Him. It's a love that cannot be comprehended. A love that cannot be described. A love that is beyond measure. There is no love like the love of Jesus. Boundless, so pure and free. The Lord Jesus is saying here in this text that the redemption of sinners, the safety of sinners, the deliverance of sinners from the wrath of God, and their comfort amidst a hostile world, and the source of love, true love, is found only in Him. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Salvation is found only in Christ. The Lord plainly reveals that redemption, eternal salvation, eternal safety is found in the person of the Son of God. It is found in His work for sinners. In His atoning death upon the cross, His sacrifice for sin, that is the only ground upon which God will receive a sinner. The eternal salvation of the soul is found not only in the work of Christ, but in the Word of Christ. He promises to men salvation. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." The hope of the sinner is found in the promise of Christ's Word. He has promised to save all who will come to Him. But that hope is not only found in His work and in His Word. It is found in His willingness. Look what He says here in this text. How often would I have gathered thy children together? I would have done this. I am willing to do this. Here's the will of Christ. He's willing to save sinners. Oh, the devil likes to throw obstacles in the path of men to keep them coming from to the Lord. He tries to make them imagine a Christ who is unwilling, a Christ who has to be persuaded. But the Lord Jesus doesn't need to be persuaded to receive the sinner. The Lord Jesus is more than willing. How often would I have gathered thee? How often would I have brought you into the place of safety? If only you had come. How often I would have gathered thee. Let me tell you tonight, there is absolutely no doubt or no uncertainty as to the willingness of Christ to save sinners. He is willing. He is able. Look what He says to Jerusalem. How often, how many times I would have been thy Savior. How many times I would have received you. How many times I would have taken you in. How many times. I want to tell you tonight that the redemption of a poor lost soul is found in Jesus Christ alone. And the one in whom that redemption is found is willing to save. willing to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. How often would I have gathered thy children together? I wonder tonight, my friend, have you recognized this great truth? That the only way that you can be saved from your fallen estate and from the guilt of your sin and from the judgment of an offended God is by coming to Jesus Christ, receiving him by faith. Do you recognize this truth? If you realize that he is willing to save, he's not only able, but he's willing to save all who will come. The redemption of sinners is found in Christ alone, but notice secondly that the ruin of sinners rests with themselves. Man's ruin lies with himself. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Ye would not. These words are applied to Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus has sent his messengers, sent his prophets with offers of mercy, with the invitation of salvation, and now he has come personally in the flesh. But he says, you would not receive me. They would not receive him. The Lord is highlighting here that the cause of man's ruin lies with himself. The reason is plainly the will of man, or rather his unwillingness. The Lord Jesus is willing to save all who will come to him, all who will receive him. But he says to this people, I would, but ye would not. Ye would not. What a picture it is of man. You know why it is that men die and perish in their sins? It's because they're unwilling to be saved. They're unwilling to be saved. Ye would not. That unwillingness expresses itself in different ways. Some men are unwilling to accept their sinfulness and their need of salvation. How many times that was the case in the history of Jerusalem? God sent his prophets. His prophets were faithful. They told the people their sin. They told their people that they were guilty of transgression, that their sin would bring judgment, but they would not believe it. They didn't accept the message. They were unwilling to accept their sinfulness, unwilling to accept their need of mercy and their need of salvation. And what was the case in Jerusalem is very much the case in Gentile nations tonight. Men who hear the message of God, men who are confronted by the Word of God, who are told that they are sinners in need of a Savior, and yet with defiance and stubbornness they will not receive the message. They will not accept the fact that they're sinners. They're proud and full of their own importance and full of their own goodness. Supposed goodness. Ye would not. Men perish because they're unwilling to accept their sinfulness. There are others who express that unwillingness in the way that they are unwilling to give up their self-righteousness. They trust in their good works, their religious works. Oh yes, if you said to them, you're a sinner, they will accept that. They will acknowledge that they are sinners. They will acknowledge that they are transgressors. They will not deny that fact. But they go about their salvation a completely different way other than what God has revealed in His Word. That's exactly what the people in Jerusalem were doing. When you read this chapter 23 of Matthew's Gospel, you will find how the scribes and the Pharisees put on that religious veneer. They were religious people. They were engaged in religious works and religious observances, thinking all the time that their religious works would gain them salvation. And yet God sent His prophet. And God said through His prophets, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They cannot make the soul right with God. They cannot bring the soul into a favored standing with God. The only way is by the atoning sacrifice of the Son of God upon the cross. But they refused to listen. They rested rather on their own religious works. And the Lord Jesus said, how often would I have gathered thee, but ye would not. Ye would not. Unwilling to give up their self-righteousness. And there were others who were unwilling to give up their sin. They just loved it too much. They enjoyed their sinful pleasures and they would not repent of it. You can think of King Herod and how the Lord sent to him John the Baptist and told him that he had to repent of his sin. But he would not listen. He held on to his sin and to the pleasure of it and would not repent. You see, the problem is man's will. The reason men perish is because they're unwilling to be saved. They're not willing to come to Christ. They're not willing to heed His Word. They're not willing to accept their sin. They're not willing to give up their self-righteousness. They're not willing to repent of sin. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. I would, but ye would not. What will become of those who will not come to Christ? What becomes of the little chick that refuses the shelter of the mother hen's wings? The little chick becomes a prey to the predator, to the hawk, or to the fox. Or it's left exposed to the biting chill of the cold winter's night. And being exposed, it perishes. Being exposed, it perishes. That's what the Lord was saying here. Because you refuse to come to me, because you will not come to me, you will not find shelter. You will not find refuge. You will be left exposed to the judgment of God. You will perish. And all who will not come to Christ will surely perish. Will be cast out into the blackness of darkness forever. Banished to everlasting hell without mercy. To receive the due judgment for sin. Don't
Does it not impress upon us tonight as we listen to these solemn words of the Lord Jesus? That the greatest thing that we should fear is a will that is stubborn and rebellious against God. Ye would not. And the thing that we should pray for the most is a will that is yielded and submitted to Christ. How different this chapter could have been if the Lord Jesus had have been able to say, "How often I would have gathered thee, and ye would." How often I would have received you, and ye were willing. The greatest thing that you must fear in this life is a will that is stubborn against God. Because such a will will rob you. And such a will drag you down to a hell that will never end. The thing that you should pray for the most is a will that is yielded to Christ. Psalm 110 is a messianic psalm which tells us of the Savior. It portrays Christ as the King. And in the verse 3, we're told that His people shall be willing in the day of His power. The only thing that can change the will of man, the stubborn, sinful, rebellious will of man, is the power of Jesus Christ. What is it that makes a man willing to come to Christ? It's the operation of Christ's power within the heart of the sinner. And that power makes the sinner willing. Willing to accept his guilt. Willing to renounce all confidence in himself and self-righteousness. Willing to turn from his sinful pleasure. And willing to come to Christ for the salvation that is found in him alone. Men perish because they choose to perish. They will not come to Christ. That's the stumbling block. That's the cause of a man's perdition. He cannot blame it on anything else. If men perish in hell, it's because they would not come to Christ. You say, how could a man be delivered from that? Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 gives us the gospel covenant. And in the gospel covenant, God says, God promises to men, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." The emphasis is all on the Lord. It's only the Lord that can renew the heart. It's only the Lord that can change the heart. It's only the Lord that can renew the will of man, that can take a stubborn, rebellious sinner and bring him to the place where he bows at the feet of Jesus. And with a new heart, says, Lord, Lord, save me, pardon me, cleanse me, receive me. The redemption of sinners is found in Christ alone. And man's ruin lies with himself. My friend, tonight fear, dread a stubborn, rebellious will, because that's the thing that will take you to hell. And tonight seek the Lord. And ask God to do in your heart what He has promised to do in the gospel covenant. And fall before the Lord tonight. And ask God to give you a new heart and to renew your will and to make you willing in the day of His power. Because the Lord is willing to save you. If you are willing to come, the Lord is willing tonight to save you. If you are willing to come.